Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Scott Eklund and Harlan Grady. Who's Harlan Grady? Well, we don't need to answer that. Let's let him tell him. Who the hell are you? Did you just kind of barge in here on our podcast and practice, Harlan?
Yeah, new addition to the Dogman.com team. High schooler, local kid. Grew up just outside of Husky campus and excited to do a little bit of work with you guys here in the next few days.
And have I tormented you very much?
Endlessly.
Yeah, some of it you didn't even understand. It just went completely over your head.
I know, I'm not there yet.
I'm just getting warmed up. Speaking of getting warmed up, beautiful day out at Husky Stadium. Temperature in the low 70s and mild wind, unlike us getting sandblasted the other day with the wind. But absolutely, you couldn't ask for a better day for practice. It was warm enough to work up a sweat for these guys, yet it wasn't overbearing. I'm sure Jonah Coleman, I checked the temperature at Tucson today, and it was 87, so this is a little bit more manageable than that.
Yeah, it was good. Practice was right on Husky Stadium field. I don't know, what was there, maybe 100, 150 people there.
Yeah.
Just watching the practice and a lot of recruits on hand. So it was a great way to show off what Washington did. And they scrimmaged, I don't know, it was probably, I'd say roughly.
100 and how many snaps did he say, Harlan?
I was going to say like 95.
Yeah, he said 100. It was over 100, okay. 100 reps. But, you know, one of the interesting things, Harlan, that he said is because of the lack of bodies for the offensive line, they're not able to double up on the reps. They're not able to run two full offensive lines.
Yeah, I think he said we'll be able to get everything we want to get done, but we're not going to be able to get it done twice.
Yeah, no, so kind of an interesting comment from Coach Fish. But, you know, lots of hit and miss today. You know, the offense looked good. Offense looked anemic at times with bad snaps, and same with the defense.
Well, there was a couple bad snaps. It wasn't that bad. You know, I thought, well, I mean, we hadn't seen very many big runs from Jonah Coleman or any of the running backs, really. And first one of the day, I mean, literally the first run of the day was a 25-yard run off of the left side by Jonah Coleman, and probably would have gone for more. They blew it dead because somebody touched him, but, I mean, he probably would have run through that tackle. So, Adam Muhammad had a couple of nice runs, physical runs, but there were also times when the defense just said, no, you're not going any further, and they were getting in there and getting some tackles for losses.
Jeremiah Hunter, he had, at least three touchdown passes caught that I saw. We're still arguing over the one, because I think it was Jeremiah Hunter. Scott thought it was Elijah Hunter.
I don't think. I know. I know it was Giles Jackson. Yeah, Jeremiah Hunter was doing the blocking.
Yeah. Yeah, but he had a big day today, Harlan.
Now, he looked great, and he definitely had a lot of opportunities. And, I mean, he was going up against the ones and, you know, even against Ephesians, even against those top guys, he was looking great all the way through.
Yeah, and one of the guys post-practice, you know, was asking Coach Fish about different guys, and Thaddeus Dixon was a guy that he brought up that was standing out to him.
Yeah, he had a good day today. He did get beat for the touchdown by Denzel Boston, the 31-yarder that, it couldn't have been thrown any better by Will Rogers. And but, you know, for the most part, he's playing real physical football on the outside. You know, Elijah Jackson being in a yellow jersey. Now, he wasn't today. He was working with the twos and in full contact. But with Elijah Jackson being out for a few days, it allowed Thaddeus Dixon to kind of take a step up, and he's looked really good.
Yeah, Denzel Boston has pretty much abused everybody defensive side of the ball.
He has, but he did have that one that went right through his hands that would have been like about a 70-yard touchdown pass, but it's hard to say if it was a drop on his part or if it was just thrown maybe 5 inches too far. Who knows?
Yeah, DeMond Williams, really nice throw to Camden Sermon, who was open by at least
20 yards.
25. Yeah. No, at least 25.
30 yards of him? That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I will say this. If you're a quarterback, I get it. You're thrown to a spot, but you got to just throw it up and say, my guy's going to catch this no matter what. And but it looked like Sermon could have caught the ball, but it was overthrown. It was more overthrown than it should have been, but it still should have been a catch by Camden.
I haven't seen a guy that open in a long time.
Well, you got to keep in mind this guy DeMond is
Stanford last year. Jermaine Polk, Jalen Polk. Jalen Polk. Oh my gosh!
We've got a theme for this spring football. Scott butchering names, but
yeah. Says the butcherer of names.
Me, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the guy's my age, DeMond. He's my age, you know. Like, you know, the wide receiver coach or the quarterback's coach said himself, he should be in the hot lunch line, and he's out here playing college football at Husky Stadium.
Could you see yourself out there taking snaps?
No, of course not. It's insane. It's insanity that these guys are even out there competing with guys who are, you know, 6 years older than them.
Well, I'm going to.
Some of them are, yeah.
I'll have a talk with the coach and say, our guy, can you just give him one rep at running back? We get a helmet and shoulder pads on you. Would you take one carry?
No. I'd get a concussion and I wouldn't be able to work here anymore. Absolutely not.
But no, it was interesting. And you mentioned Adam Muhammad. And that's another guy that, you know, Coach Fish mentioned that was really standing out.
Well, it's hard. No, for him not to stand out. I mean, he looks like a thoroughbred when he's running the ball. I mean, he just, the way he runs, he's got that big body, big muscular body already. He's going to, I mean, what is he now, about 205, whatever he is now, and he's probably going to be 215, 220 pretty easily by the time he's really ready to see the field.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be such a big physical running back room between Jonah Coleman and Cam Davis and now Adam Muhammad. Like, there's so many guys who can just run through people.
I'm thinking Muhammad's going to be 225 at some point.
Maybe not this year, but
at some point. And we're still missing Cam Davis.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't gotten any reps yet, but, you know, he's going to be a part of this room.
Yeah, and they, from what I've heard, they've been really excited about his progress physically. He's not going to be a guy who takes any carries this spring. He's just getting the mental reps in and getting position work in. But from what I've heard, they're really happy with where he's at, and they think he's going to be a huge contributor this fall.
You know, it's easy to forget about Will Rogers and not talk about him a lot because of what we see out of DeMond Williams, which is you know, he's got a little bit more juice behind the things that he does, a little more bit electricity. But Will Rogers had a real steady camp.
Yeah, he's had a steady camp, and I think today was probably his best practice. I mean, he had that throw to Denzel Boston that was just a few inches too far, would have been a 70, 80-yard touchdown. I didn't look exactly at how far it would have been. And then he had the throw to Denzel Boston for the touchdown on the 31-yarder. Made a couple of really nice, where he slid to the left, slid to the right, found guys open down the middle for big gains and things like that. He throws off platform really good for a guy who was more of a pocket passer. He slides really well and throws off awkward, different arm angles and everything like that.
It's kind of funny because when I look at him, you know, DeMond is cut up a little bit, but Will Rogers kind of looks like Harlan.
Yeah, he's not exactly a physical specimen, and he's not quite as, you know, quick on his feet as DeMond, or he's not going to, you know, make those crazy rollouts and get to the outside and burn anybody with his speed, but this is a guy who's been cutting up the SEC for 4 years, 5 years. Like, this guy is going to, you know, he's going to put in work. He's going to get it done. He's always been consistent. So.
Yeah, and Coach Fish also talked quite a bit about DeMarc. I butcher his first name.
DeMarcius.
DeMarcius.
Davis.
Yeah, DeMarcius Davis. But he's He said he's not getting the reps as the other two guys, but they're pretty excited about him. And I don't know if you agree with me or not, Scott. I think his floor right now might be lower than DeMond's, but I actually think he has a higher ceiling. Whether he achieves that ceiling or not, that's a different story.
Yeah, hard to say. I mean, you could say that DeMond's ceiling is higher because he's more athletic, maybe, but DeMarcius isn't a bad athlete at all by any stretch.
No, he's a good-looking athlete.
He is a good-looking athlete. He just needs to put on some more size. He needs to get a little bit more skilled in the passing game. I mean, DeMond Williams is easily two or three steps ahead of him as far as a passer. And, I mean, DeMond Williams throws the ball. I mean, the way he throws it is he has such – I mean, we've got spoiled here for the last 2 years watching Mike Penix throw the ball. You know, his deep ball is one of the best that we've ever seen, right? And then you watch DeMond Williams and you're just like, oh my gosh, someone who's equal to or better than Mike Penix was
in arm strength
in arm strength and all those different things. He's just small. If he was a 6'2", 6'3" guy, he would have been probably the number one recruit in the country.
He'd be a million and a half year NIL guy.
Yeah, I mean, his NIL would be ridiculous. I think a lot of people, I don't want to say passed on him, but a lot of people didn't go that hard after him, probably because he's 5'9", 5'10", whatever he is. And Washington's the one who's going to reap the benefits of that.
Arlen, what was your take on Jimmy Doherty's answer? I asked him if he had ever played two quarterbacks at once, or if he became, not at once, but if he'd ever, you know,
rotated him.
Yeah, or if he was comfortable doing it. What did you take from that answer?
Yeah, I mean, he obviously is not going to shut it down, but it doesn't seem like that's anything he wants to touch with a 7-foot pole. You know, he didn't seem really eager or confident in that answer. I don't think he has any interest in doing it. Makes me think we're going to see a clearly defined starter once we start to get closer to the fall, but I imagine he's going to let him go. You know, iron sharpens iron, so we're going to probably see them compete. I mean, he was big on the competition for them, so if iron sharpens iron, you know, we're probably going to see them go side by side for, you know, through the rest of spring, probably through the summer in conditioning and things like that. But
Fafita wasn't the starting quarterback last year at Arizona.
That's true. He wasn't. Yep. And then Delora got hurt, and he took it and ran.
Yeah, no.
Kind of like what Marcus Tuiasosopo did. I mean, you know, that was Brock, right? And Brock did come back and play. But, I mean, Marcus Tuiasosopo, if you looked at it, Marcus Tuiasosopo probably was the better quarterback at that point. But, you know, helping the team win. But Brock Heward was a senior. Was he a senior that year?
I don't remember.
Whatever it was. But anyway, just the way they come in. Billy Joe Hobert, I guess, would be another one, you know, with Mark Brunell. Mark Brunell got healthy, and Billy Joe Hobert still was the quarterback.
Yeah, just what we see out of DeMond, you know, and, you know, we think that, you know, he will play this year. But, you know, I think that the deciding factor on that, why I think there's a good chance he won't play other than the four games. They've only got three scholarship quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what? I don't understand.
Just if one goes down, it's just the depth isn't there.
Oh, okay. I could see that. I think they've got it. They want to get him ready for next year, though.
Yeah. They'll have four games to do that.
Have four games, and then hopefully you have at least one more, if not two, that he can play and not count toward the thing if you have a conference championship game and a bowl game.
Yep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
One of the things that I noticed, Scott, in this spring camp, and maybe it's because we're allowed to see more of it, but I don't remember the amount of physical contact that we've
seen.
Lots
of more live tackling, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's just because we weren't able to see it last
time. Well, yeah, because they did almost all of that. The old staff did almost all of that on Saturdays, and we weren't able to go watch Saturday practices because those were scrimmages, and they didn't want us watching those. So, which was fine with us because, A, you got to golf. I got to go to my kids' sporting events, and, you know, Chris probably watched soccer. I don't know, but, what you know, we didn't – the last 2 years, we didn't go to anything. on Saturdays. This is kind of different for us being able to be here when they are running through it. And, you know, you watch them be physical and stuff like that. I mean, Daniel Nagata, took a, you know, picked up a blitz really well. You made the comment, Harlan, that he picked up the blitz really well, but he came off, he was hurting.
Yeah. He took a stinger.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was a stinger cause he came back and played. You usually don't have him play after they get stingers, but whatever it was, he was not, he was feeling it, whatever it was. And he ended up playing the rest of the thing, but he had to come out for a series. So
yeah, no, it's we're not used to seeing this much, and we're getting to see a lot.
The only ones not getting hit are the quarterbacks. That's about it.
Yeah, we were talking about Jake Browning back in the day because he couldn't get hit. Yeah. And just he'd go up to the line of scrimmage and he would just mess with guys. Oh my God, he would just mess. He would taunt them, talk crap, and it was you know who he usually targeted. I don't know if you remember this.
I want to say it was one of the linebackers.
It was Azeem.
Azeem Victor. Right, yeah.
He used to, and Azeem would get so pissed off because he was sitting there. We may not be able to touch you now, but we'll get you after practice, Jake. It was funny, you know, listening to that stuff. But, you know, defensively, anything jump out at you, Scott?
Well, Jordan Shaw should have had a pick six toward the end of practice. Did have a nice pick on a play that was deflected.
Down on the goal
line. Near the goal line. It was inside the 10. And then I thought Kamori House continued to look really, really good. He forced a throwaway by Damon Williams, and then he also Damon Williams, he kind of got into his line of vision, jumped in, and Williams kind of hitched, threw the ball to Keith Reynolds, bounced off of his hands, and then that's when it jumped into bopped into Shaw's hands for the interception. Trying to think some other guys that might have stood out. I mean, Prysock, I thought, had a pretty good practice.
Bruner again.
Bruner had a really good practice. Alfonso Tupatala. Alfonso Tupatala had a stop at the goal line. Like you mentioned, Drew Fowler, he looked pretty good. The defensive line was a little bit different. I didn't see much of Sebastian Valdez today. I did see a lot of Bryce Butler, and he actually got a sack. He had a tackle for loss. Jacob Bandis had a tackle for loss. So, another one, Dyson McCutcheon. He continues to look really good as the slot corner. I think Jordan Shaw is probably your starting slot corner, but I think Dyson McCutcheon set himself up to play a lot this year. I think the coaches really like what they've seen from him.
Also, Harlan, Coach Fish updated us on Zach Durfee.
Yeah, he said about a 2-month timetable, so it's not somebody that we're going to see this spring, but you know, they really like him as a player, and obviously he has a lot to prove, so we're going to see him through the summer, and coming into fall, he's going to play.
Did they say
a lot.
What it was?
Yeah, it's funny how it's an elbow.
Okay, so it was an elbow.
Well, it's not a shoulder.
No, he said elbow, but he was in a sling.
Yeah.
Last time we saw him.
Last time
he
we
said,
saw him. Yep.
And he did say he was going to need some reparations, or he said need fixing. So
needs fixing. Like it's an elbow.
Did some work on it.
It's an elbow.
Yeah. Needs some. Well, I, as someone who had a hyperextended elbow in high school, my senior year, my elbow blew up to, I mean, it was like, they used to call me Popeye because I had a hyperextended one. It was really bad. And if it's anything like that, he might not need surgery, but you definitely need some rehab on it and things like that.
Yeah, just a guy you mentioned, and we talked about this a couple of days ago, Scott, Kamori House, maybe a little bit undersized, but as a linebacker, I kind of referred to him as bouncy. He's really light on his feet.
Yeah, he is. He can run. He can hit. I that was one thing I remember Greg Biggins being at a St. John Bosco game, and I asked how Kamori House looked, and he just said, that guy can run and hit. I mean, he's special. He can, if he diagnoses the play well, which he's got really good instincts, if he diagnoses the play well, he's going to go and make it because he can just fly around.
205, 210-ish?
Yeah, he's listed at 205. I would say he's probably in that range, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he might be a little bit bigger because he's been here since January. But I don't think if he's any bigger than 210, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
And, well, we were watching him in positionals the other day. You said he runs like a safety. Runs like
well, running. Yeah, it was Kim that said that, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's just kind of, you know, there's just certain athletes that, you know, aren't heel to toe. They're, you know, they're on the balls of their feet. And when they run, you know, it's just a little bit more spring in their step when they're coming up off the ground. It's mm-hmm. almost like they've, you know, got those springs because they're just more explosive. It's just coming off the ground, and he seems to have that going. Mm-hmm. You know, when he gets to 225, we'll see if he still has that. Yeah. But he's impressed.
Usually they do.
Yeah, and he looked good to me. So yeah. He's just the kind of a guy that jumped out. The
way you know, I've compared him a lot to, what's his name? He was Azeem Victor's coach.
Keyshawn Bierria.
Keyshawn Bierria, yeah. So I think he plays the game a lot like Keyshawn played the game. And if that's the kind of career you get out of Kamori House, you're doing really well because that guy was an All-Pac-12 guy.
Yeah, so. And Keyshawn, House is definitely taller than Keyshawn.
He's taller, bigger frame. Yeah. Bigger frame, too. But he's kind of, I mean, one of the things they said about Keyshawn Bierria was that he was a spread killer. He was that guy who could get out and play in space. He could make plays. He could run and hit. He ran like a safety. And I think Kamori House is that same kind of guy.
All right. It's Saturday. It's gorgeous outside. Let's wrap this up. Final thoughts, Scott Ekman?
I'd just say, had some good food in the stands. Had some, had some Sour Patch and all that stuff. But no, I mean it was a good practice. When you get 70-ish degrees in late April in the state of Washington, I think you got to just thank I thank God. Some people might just thank the weather gods, whatever you would prefer. But man, it was a great day outside. It was fun to be out there. It was great to see the live action. A little bit more to report on for us. And it's 3 weeks in. We still got 2 weeks left. 5 practices to see.
In the stands, would you say, sitting in the stands today versus 2 weeks ago, probably with wind chill factor, 25 degrees difference?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Harlan, wrap it up for us.
Yeah, well, definitely enjoyed being out there. Definitely this team's a little bit shallow still, but they're giving us some good reason to come out and support. Definitely going to attend the Dogs After Dark on May 3rd. Really excited for that opportunity, and great to hear from Coach Fish. As always, nice to hear him mention some individual players and just a great day to watch some Husky football.
Good stuff from the assistant coaches, by the way.
Yeah, I haven't heard what they talked about because I was doing the practice wrap. But Fish will be out tonight, and Jimmy Doherty will be out tomorrow. So
We get kind of confused because we got Jimmy Doherty and Matt Doherty. And they spell them not even close.
They're different and they're not related.
So, yeah, it's totally different. It's kind of like Jackson and Andrew Kirkland.
Mm-hmm. So, stop it.
Anyways, practice again on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday of next week. And then the following week, just Monday. And then the spring event on Friday night.
Yeah.
So just mm-hmm. that. So anyways, for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Scott Ekland and Harlan Grady. Go Dogs.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.